No Christian can say, I have the Word, so I don't need the Spirit. No Christian can say, I have the Spirit, so I don't need the Word. But if you have the Bible in your hand and the Spirit in your heart, you will have all the wisdom you need for everything you will ever face.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. And Colin, I could imagine somebody saying, well, now that we have the completed Bible, we've got God's Word right there in black and white, so why do I really need the Holy Spirit?
Well, let's just think about the position of the person who has a Bible in their hand but does not have any work or assistance from the Holy Spirit. First question, how are you going to understand the Bible that's in your hand? I mean, we need the light of the Holy Spirit, the help of the Holy Spirit to understand the word of truth that God has revealed. That's why a Christian will pray, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things in your word. I mean, what use is the Bible going to be if I'm not capable of seeing and discerning the glory of Jesus that is unveiled there? And then beyond understanding, I mean, even if you were able to understand it, by what power are you going to be able to obey it? I mean, without the Holy Spirit, this is simply going to be a book that shows you a life that God calls you to and leaves you unable to pursue it because you don't have the capacity within you. So we need the Word and the Spirit together. It's the Spirit who has given us the Word. It's the Spirit who opens our minds and our hearts to the Word. And it's the Spirit who empowers us to obey the Word. And that would just be for starters. We need God's Word and we need God's Spirit.
Well, we're going to continue to look at this truth from the book of 1 John chapter 2. Join us there as we continue our message, Assurance Grows as You Listen to the Witness of the Spirit. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, I want to make 7 observations about the ministry of the Holy Spirit from this wonderful first letter of John so that we can take in the wonder, or at least something of it, of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian believer. First, John makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus. Chapter 2 and verse 20, you have been anointed by the Holy One. That's the first thing that John affirms here. The second is, to whom does he send the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is given to all who are in Christ. Writing to these believers, he says, you have been anointed by the Holy One. So Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, and John refers to the gift of the Holy Spirit here as an anointing. Third observation, the Holy Spirit remains in all who believe. So it's Jesus who gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gives the gift of the Holy Spirit to all who are truly in him. And this gift is a gift that remains. Chapter 2 and verse 27. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you. And then this wonderful truth that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual sight. Now notice this comes twice in the verses that were read for us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. So the first effect that John identifies here is you have knowledge. That's the effect of the Holy Spirit anointing you. And he says the same in verse 27. But the anointing that you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. Now, let's think clearly and carefully here as we understand what John is saying. This cannot possibly mean that all believers know everything. Plainly, that is not the case. There are vast realms of knowledge that are beyond any of us here. It plainly does not mean that true believers can never be deceived in any respect. I mean, it is plainly the case that Christians commit many sins, and Christians make many foolish mistakes. So John is not saying that because we have the Holy Spirit, we don't need to learn. or that because we have the Holy Spirit, we don't need to be taught, or that we don't need wise teachers. I mean, the very fact that John's writing this letter as an apostle indicates quite clearly that at least these people need to be taught about assurance and much else that is in this wonderful letter. So what's he saying? The point here, and this is why it's important to read a verse in its context, the point here is that the people who had left the church had been deceived in one particular respect, and that was in relation to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. People who John describes as antichrists, people who were opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ, had come along and in some way had infiltrated the lives of those who ultimately left the church. And these people, chapter 2 and verse 22, denied that Jesus is the Christ. And those who left the church, well, they were deceived by these antichrists. Now remember, John is not writing to those who left. He makes that quite clear. He's writing to those who remain. And he says to them this, I write this to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. You see what he's saying? You know the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ because of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have not been deceived in this respect, and in this respect you have no need that anyone should teach you. You already know. The Spirit has convinced you of who Jesus is, what he has done, your need of him, and that you indeed are his. And so he comes back to it again in verse 27. The anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. Now, would you take in for a moment this very wonderful truth? I don't want us to pass over it. Others have been deceived in regards to the Lord Jesus Christ, not you. You have been given spiritual sight, and the reason you have spiritual sight is that the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes. That's why we can't, by the way, look down our noses at those who don't believe, as if they were merely foolish. It's God who opened your eyes to what you otherwise would not have seen, just like millions of other people don't see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul puts it this way, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're folly to him, for he is not able to understand them, not able to understand them. Because they're spiritually discerned. But you see, you have been given spiritual sight. You've been given light. The Spirit of God has given this to you. You all have knowledge. Your eyes have been opened. Some of us would say, honestly, wouldn't we? Well, I know I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But the Spirit of God has opened your eyes to the things that matter most. This is why David says in one of the Psalms, I am wiser than all my teachers. He didn't mean any smarter or bigger intellectual capacity. He means that God has opened his eyes to the things that matter most that other people who are quite brilliant haven't even seen. You have all knowledge because the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes and revealed to you the glory of Christ.
Boy, if you are a follower of Jesus, aren't you glad that that is true of you today? You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Assurance Grows as You Listen to the Witness of the Spirit. Part of our series, How Can I Be Sure? And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can listen online at openthebible.org or through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find at your app store. It's a great way to stay connected with Pastor Colin's teaching when you're on the go. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
So we're learning about the special ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. He is sent by Jesus. He's given to all who are in Christ. He remains in the life of a believer. He gives spiritual sight. And then this very important truth that John underlines for us, the Holy Spirit bears witness to the Word. And I want you to notice how John weaves together the work of the Spirit of God and the work of the Word of God in these verses that we're looking at in 1 John and chapter 2. You see, two things are needed if a person is to see. Think about this. If a person is to see, two things are needed. One is the gift of sight, what we've just been speaking about, but the other is the gift of light. I mean, a person can have the gift of sight, but if everything is dark, nothing is seen. And this is why God gives to us together his Word, light, and his Spirit, who brings sight. And the Spirit of God works with the Word of God. And in the Word and in the Spirit, we have the double defense against the power of lies and of deception. And you notice how John brings these together in these verses. In verse 24, he says, "Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father." What you've heard from the beginning, of course, is the Word of God. It's the apostolic word. It's the gospel. You have heard the word, he says in verse 24. You have received the Spirit, he says in verse 27. Think about it. The New Testament describes our new birth as having come about in two ways that, of course, are entirely complementary. In John and chapter 3, we're told that we are born again of the Spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, we're told that we are born again of the living seed of the Word of God. This is how you came to new birth. This is how you came to spiritual sight. The Holy Spirit caused the living seed of the Word of God to bring new life into you. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. What he does is he opens our eyes to the light of God's Word. This is why whenever we open the Bible, you do that, whenever you do that, the morning, the evening, you open the Bible, ask God the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to what is in the Bible. Keep these two things always together. David says in Psalm 119 and verse 18, "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things in your Word." I find that to be my daily need. I sit down, I open the Bible. Lord, give me the sight by your Holy Spirit to see what it is that you are saying here, lest there be light that I do not see. What a tragedy that you would be given spiritual sight and never open your Bible to see what is there that God has revealed to you. No Christian can say, "I have the Word, so I don't need the Spirit." No Christian can say, "I have the Spirit, so I don't need the Word." But if you have the Bible in your hand and the Spirit in your heart, you will have all the wisdom you need for everything you will ever face. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the Word. Two more. The Holy Spirit bears witness to Jesus. Chapter 5 and verse 6. "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth." Now, we saw earlier in this series that the water is most likely a reference to the baptism of Jesus when God testified in an audible voice, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And the blood, of course, is a reference to the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross, when his blood was shed for us, and God testified that the crucified Jesus is his son by raising him from the dead. And then John tells us, and this is our focus here, the Spirit testifies to the same truth. That is, the Spirit testifies to Jesus. Jesus said, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And the Holy Spirit bears witness to Jesus by showing us how much we need him. When he comes, Jesus said, he will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Most of you will know the name of John Newton. That's the one who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace. And you will know some of the great evils that he perpetrated and seemed able to continue for much of his life until he was converted and discovered the amazing grace of God. This is what John Newton said in regards to his conversion. No man ever did or ever will feel himself to be a lost, miserable, and hateful sinner unless he be powerfully and supernaturally convinced by the Spirit of God. You know what he's saying? By nature, we all think by nature that we're the greatest thing since sliced bread. We do. We always think we're right. Unless and until we are powerfully and supernaturally convinced by the Spirit of God. And you see the point. That's precisely what's happened to you. Because if you're a Christian today, you're not here saying, hey, I'm the greatest person around here. You're knowing from deep within you that you are a profoundly flawed and guilty sinner in the process of being redeemed by the marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, without which you wouldn't have a single hope at all. That's what you believe about yourself if you're a Christian. How did you come to that? Powerfully, supernaturally convinced by the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit bears witness not to Jesus, not only by convincing of us of our need of him, but by actually drawing us to him. And this is what has happened to you. You became aware of your need of a Savior, and that led you to come to him. You humbled yourself. You said, Jesus, I need you. You have come to believe in him. You've come to love him. You've come to follow him. And that is the clearest possible evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You see where John's going with all of this? This is the work of the Holy Spirit in regards to assurance. This is how you know that you are in Christ. The Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus to all who are in Christ, remains in all who believe, giving us spiritual sight, bearing witness to the Word, bearing witness to Jesus, and lastly, therefore, bearing witness even to us. By this, chapter 4 and verse 13, we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. What an amazing gift this is. Think about this. God could have posted an angel outside the home of every believer so that every time in the winter you opened your garage door and backed out your car, there'd be just a little knock on the window, you pull your window down, and the angel would say to you, whatever happens today, remember, you abide in him and he abides in you. Wouldn't that be lovely? Be reminded that by an angel every day. An angel outside the door of your home every day. And God says, that's not good enough for my children. No, God chose instead that his own Spirit should dwell in you. How amazing is that? In the heart of every believer. God really did come into the world in his Son Jesus. And here we're seeing that God really has come into your heart by his Holy Spirit. God, in other words, wants you to have assurance, not by an angel telling you, but by God telling you himself. That's why Paul says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And it's the most wonderful thing. Some believers, of course, have great struggles with uncertainty. A Christian friend says, well, you know, I see a reflection of Jesus in you, and well, I don't really see that. A pastor points to various scriptures about assurance, and the person says, I don't know, I just can't really get settled over this. A man by the name of Octavius Winslow, a fine pastor from an earlier century, says this: your minister, your friend, cannot assure your spirit that you are born of God. God, the eternal Spirit alone, can do this. He alone is competent. He alone can fathom the deep things of God. He alone can rightly discern between his own work and its counterfeit. And he alone can make known the secret of the Lord to those who fear him. Assurance grows as you listen to the witness of the Spirit. So believe God, love God, and obey God. Trust the Holy Spirit to bring you peace and assurance. And recognize the reality of the work of the Holy Spirit in your own life.
It's a great challenge for each one of us. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Assurance Grows as You Listen to the Witness of the Spirit. Part of our series, How Can I Be Sure? And maybe you're struggling with assurance. You'd like to get a copy of the series on CD to listen to at your convenience. You can order a copy of the series online at openthebible.org or ask about How Can I Be Sure when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. It's your generosity that allows us to bring you Pastor Colin's teaching, whether it's on the radio, the app, or online, as well as all the other resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, as our way of saying thanks, we want to send you a book written by Donald McLeod called Faith Undaunted. And Colin, what is this book about?
Well, it's in the title, Faith Undaunted. And the word undaunted, of course, is recognizing that we live at a time when there are many people who want to dismiss Christian faith absolutely. How could you possibly believe this? It's outdated and so forth. And I think sometimes Christians feel intimidated by the dismissive way in which people speak about Christian faith as if it was absolutely impossible. Donald McLeod, who is a professor, a very, very brilliant man, makes the point very clearly that actually everyone has some sort of faith, whether it be an atheist, whether it be someone who is looking at science and is dismissing Christian faith. Everyone is drawing conclusions from certain data, and Christians are the same. Christians are drawing conclusions from evidence that is made available to us. And he makes this point very, very compellingly. And so I find that this is a book that I think will encourage Christians, in other words, give some courage so that we are undaunted. There is reason for believing what you believe as a Christian. Don't let anybody intimidate you about your faith. Faith Undaunted will help you to have the courage of your convictions, and I think it was a really helpful and encouraging book.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-673-6365. that might be easier to remember is 1-877-OPEN-365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.